I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Sumwalt, will you please take the roll?
Commissioner Micklin?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Excuse. Mr. Romeis might be coming up.
Alderman Skaronski?
Here.
Oh, there he is.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
All right, Mr. Romeis is here. Please rise, join with me in Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda is approval of minutes of Thursday, September 8th, 2008.
Move approval.
Second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to the agenda, if I can find it. Get all my stuff here. Now let me ask, how many people are here for item A? How many people are here for item B, David L. Sweeney? How many people are here for item C? Three?
Four?
Okay. I'm going to take out of order. I'm going to go straight to item B, David L. Sweeney and Marion R. Sweeney. Given the number of people, I know it's a little, those chairs are very hard, and I know that there's a lot of concern regarding this issue. Before I begin, I have received many letters. I think the plan commissioners also have received letters. I've received several petitions, one that's got one, two, three, four, five pages attached. Petition for Michael and Karen Sweeney, billed in Franklin. Signature, address, phone number below signifies that I'm in support of Michael F. and Karen L. Sweeney building their house on the back lot, blah, 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 blah. So for the record, we have that here. Last meeting, we received, I believe, two letters signed by many people within Prairie Grass Preserves. I have both of them. By memory, I'm thinking that there may be as many as 8 to 10 individuals that signed. I did read that into the record at the last meeting. I've also received letters from Mr. Sweeney himself as of today regarding conversations that took place, I guess, yesterday. I've received letters from Carmex Corporation, Mr. Welbing, who is, I believe, is now the CEO. Here it is. President of Carmel Labs in support of the project. Also, I think there's a common theme that in the letters that I've received, I would like to suggest that the City of Franklin consider examining its approval and permitting process for potential home builders and to try to make it as friendly, fact-based, and well-managed as what we have experienced in our many favorable years with the Franklin Industrial Park. I also received a letter from Proteus Corporation. I believe the managing of Proteus Corporation, basically the same theme. While they enjoy and have enjoyed working in Franklin, this is to basically ask the Common Council and the Plan Commission to try and simplify their ordinances, rules, and procedures so that people wanting to build homes in the City of Franklin can do so without a lot of unnecessary red tape. And there are several other letters that all will be placed into the record just for the sake of the Plan Commission and for the people in attendance, because I do know that this is a hot issue. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 individuals with a September 6, 2011 letter in opposition to the building. And I received another letter from Dr. and Mrs. Kelly Smith in regards to this, and basically we're very concerned about the drainage issues but said that if for one reason or another that the Plan Commission was to approve this, that they wish that the, these are my words, wish that the Plan Commission would put some regulations in place, some monitoring practices in place so that there would not be any chance of unusual drainage or standing water in that area. Mr. Milanovic wrote a email to us. I believe that that's been given to plan commissioners. You should have that in opposition. Oh, here it is. To Mr. Deedle. And basically, I talked to Mr. Milanovic on the phone. Some of the issues were that there had been complaints actually filed by the Sweeneys in the past regarding the Prairie Grass subdivision actually or allegedly causing, that's maybe the correct word, right, allegedly causing drainage problems and standing water in their property. And you asked me to look into it. I did ask Mr. Deedle and the staff to look into it. And I believe Mr. Romeis may have some information. On top of that, I took a ride out to the property yesterday. We've had a lot of going on in the last couple of days. And walked the property myself, looked at the swales, looked at the homes. Got to say that I think from where that subdivision was about 2 years ago when many developers just up and left the development standing, there's been a drastic improvement in the overall subdivision and the way it looks. And I don't know who I thank for that, but it looks very, well, it's really improved a great deal. It should. I mean, that was the site for the Parade of Homes. And it's, I think I speak for all of the elected officials from the city of Franklin when we say that we are as angry as the rest of you regarding these individuals that up and left the properties in the condition that they left them. While it's not a comfort to you, we have experienced this in many other areas of the city where there were the association agreements. People thought that they had entered into these in good faith agreements only to find out that they were left standing. I think there were a couple homes in Prairie Grass that had no porches in front of them. Windows were not filled in. Dirt was piled sky high. Alderman Skronsky had me over there, I don't know, at least three times looking at the stuff. We've had other condo projects, association projects that the people also have been left high and dry. So I know that's not a comfort, but the elected officials of the city, I can tell you the members of boards and commissions are very, very upset with what happened there. And for those of you that don't know, I'm the chairman of the mayors and village presidents for Milwaukee County, and that 18 other municipalities are also going through the similar thing, as well as probably 100,000 communities in our country. So it's not a good thing. I think that you've really done quite a remarkable job in bringing your subdivision back to what it should be. So I'd like to applaud you for that. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Deedle. And I'm trying to think, was this referred back to staff? I know that Mr. Fowler had raised many, many issues regarding potential drainage issues.
Yes.
There were questions as to what was the response of the staff of planning and as well as the civil engineering department. So with that, I'll let you move forward. And I'm sorry, I have a terrible cold, so I'll be coughing.
I'll recap the project real quickly again. The proposal is a CSM. The owner of the property is dividing the land. It fronts on both St. Martin's Road and Elmleaf Lane. They're splitting the land, so it'll be one lot fronting on St. Martin's Road, one new lot fronting on Elmleaf Lane. That's where the house would be built. It's that portion of the property that contains a floodplain. Part of the wetland that's inside the floodplain is on, or I should say wetland setback, the buffer is on the property. There's a tree line on the north end of the property that's a protected natural resource feature. They're going to be building the house immediately outside those features, adjacent to, but outside those features. There was a tree line on the south side of the property. It was determined not to be protected natural resources. They happened to take a couple trees down. The project, when it was presented to the Planning Commission last time, there were some details, detailed plans that weren't submitted at that time as the Planning Commission. As the Planning Commission may recall...
You know, that only happens when you're in the room.
Yeah. I have never heard it otherwise. The Planning Commission may recall that the Council and Planning Commission had allowed developers to provide preliminary information, and the applicant took advantage of that and has. Much of that information has been supplied now. Further information will be provided during the normal course of events. Going into some details, for instance, an example would be the floodplain information was correctly shown from the beginning. It's on the CSM. Some of the topographic information wasn't presented to the Planning Commission last time. Wasn't available. That information is now available. The next step would be to use that information to prepare grading plans, erosion control plans, plat survey. Those steps can and normally do come later in the review and approval process. They have talked, the owner, the person who wants to build the house, and their engineer have talked to the city assistant engineer about those kinds of issues as well. Based on the information that we have so far, staff has no concerns with drainage or flooding. With the caveat that if there's any changes proposed or any changes come up, if they wish to move the location of the house, add some more fill, anything like that, that information has to be presented to the city as the review and approval process continues. They have to apply for a building permit. They have to get approval of the erosion control plan. That information will be required at that time, and that will allow us to determine if there's any changes that would cause flooding or drainage problems. So at this time, I believe we don't have any concerns, and with the process, we believe that if there are any changes, we'll be able to catch any problems. And then the city assistant and engineer could talk in that more detail. There are a few things that are still recommended to be done by staff. One of those is that we do want the conservation easement revised to include those woodlands that are on the north side of the property, that conservation easement be identified in the field with signage or fencing, and that the sewer pack secondary environmental corridor, while it's been put on the map, we prefer that be put on either the CSM or the plat survey that gets prepared at the end of the process. Those are the requirements that are recommendations from staff that are still outstanding. The other requirements or recommendations have been addressed from the previous staff report. We still do have a few suggestions as well. Staff is still suggesting a street tree up front by Elm Lane. We still are suggesting that they try to move the house further away from the floodplain if possible. These are just suggestions. We are suggesting they obtain flood insurance and use a structural engineer in the design of the house. And move the house in such a fashion, not only that they would move it further from the floodplain, but from the southern property line as well, because there would probably have to be swales built on either side of the house to direct the stormwater runoff to the back of the property and then to the floodplain. So those are just suggestions. It is tight, and that's why we are suggesting that. There have been concerns by the neighbors. That's why we're suggesting. But we think that with proper engineering, proper design, proper layout, and the process that requires the city to approve the erosion control, drainage plan, plat survey, building permit, they can build and most likely address these concerns. But it would be a little bit safer to do some of these suggestions. But because those are only suggestions, it's up to the applicant and the Planning Commission to decide if you wish to proceed.
Mr. Deal, when you say proper this, proper that, proper this, who's going to determine what's proper?
Most of these requirements are straight out of the Unified Development. It's the city's ordinance.
Okay, the zoning ordinance is recent.
A few of these are required by state statute as part of the CSM, and the rest of them, and the majority of them, come from the Unified Development ordinance or the municipal code.
What is, what's, you know, offhand, or maybe city attorney, but what's a what's possible violation of the ordinances? What's the penalties?
Well, the first, the city attorney would answer this better than me, but first, if we found a violation, the project would halt at that point. So if a building permit had not been issued yet, we would not issue a building permit until the problems were addressed. If we were working on a erosion control or drainage plan and there were problems, we would not approve those until those problems were addressed. There are other recourses as well.
They said no occupancy permit would be granted unless all these provisions are made.
Building permit would come first, but if occupancy does come later, there are a few minor things that could be reviewed and approved later, and then the occupancy.
Yeah, my mistake. I should have said building. Okay, and if after all that's said and done, some violation of the ordinance took place, and one of our building inspectors went out there, one of our civil engineers, and the individuals were not compliant, they're given a citation. What type of penalty would be associated?
Depending on the severity, we might issue a stop work order right away. We would either, if it's not too severe, we would try to work it out, let them continue, but try to work it out. And if it's somewhere in between, we would go through the citation process, take it to the judge, and then he would determine.
Okay. What the request would be. These are kind of rhetorical, but I know that we've had at least one person, if not two, in the city that have been found to be ignoring the advice of staff, whether it be building inspectors, city engineers. I can think a couple of where filling permits were exceeded, one in particular. And I believe the city stepped in, and letters were written, and it was something like $2,500 a day for every day that the person was in violation of the ordinances. So we don't take it lightly as to $2,500 a day within a month is a considerable amount of money. And those things are written into the ordinance. I think it goes up to $2,500, but then more severe penalties can occur. So with that, do you have anything else?
Other than just to summarize the whole project, I guess, is this is a CSM. There is a separate building permit that will have to be applied for. There are other permits and approvals that still must be applied for. And then that adds comfort to staff. There are, if any issues come up, we'll have opportunities to lay down the law and get compliance. And that the next step after this would be the town council would recommend or decide approval or not on the CSM.
I probably learned more about this issue than I probably wanted to, but when I was out there, was looking at the homes, probably where Mr. Milinovich lives in one of the homes. Probably this young lady lives and her husband live in the other home. It seemed to me that when I was on the street or near the street, I was looking up at the homes. I was looking, and then as I looked down the road, I was also looking up. Then there was a swale, and then there was it a stormwater drain? And the drain was would allegedly take the water and move the water underneath the street, I believe, and move it down the street. And then since the subdivision has been built there, there is now a curb in there. I didn't see curb and gutter, but I saw a curb. I don't know if gutter is in there or not. But if unusual amount of rain came down, which we've had our share in the last few years, and I'm asking you, if the water came off the street, would it go down the street, hit the curb, and then take it down to where that pond is behind the evergreens?
That's how it would function, yes, sir.
Okay. Because I was trying to, I think one of the major issues here is that complaints were filed in the past, basically alleging that water from the new subdivision was running into the Sweeney's property. And then I think the city engineer, et cetera, with the permission of the landowners, came out and looked at the whole thing. Maybe Mr. Romeis can get into that. But maybe I'm totally wrong because I've been there before. I think one of the issues in the minds of the people in Prairie Grass Preserve is city be forewarned that if something happens and that water starts to back up either into Mr. Sweeney's house or into Mr. Sweeney's house, that you want to put it on record that you warned us. Is that, I mean, looking at Mr. Milinovich, am I pronouncing that correct?
Milinovich, yes.
Milinovich, because you're the association president, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that pretty much the...
Yes, there's a great water concern, and Mr. Sweeney himself on several occasions, Mr. David Sweeney himself on several occasions, went to the city and complained about standing water in his property and self-admittedly said he had a water problem on that property. And the all prairie grass was not said to be the problem. It was my lot, and I went through twice allowing the city to survey it to find out that I was compliant. And I also have a concern because in looking at what the city's gone through with this, I don't think they've addressed the floodway district issue. I don't think that's been addressed, and this is a floodway district. And that's a concern. You're right, Mayor. The main concern here is water, and we have a situation where the applicant, Mr. David Sweeney, self-admittedly, you don't come in and complain that you have water on your property if you don't have water on your property. He supplied pictures. Bruce Taylor, when he was involved, supplied pictures of it. So the water is the main concern of ours. And the other main concern is we don't feel the floodway district issue has been taken up with the Plan Commission. I think it's important that they do this before they give any recommendation to the Common Council.
Okay. The one thing I did notice is, given that the homes are built up on this hill, unless gravity has changed, I can't see that the water is going to come up into your property.
Well, you can see what happens on top of the soil, okay, but you don't know what's going on underneath the soil and those types of things, okay? So you can have pressure changes in the soil with the water, hydrostatic situations, basement wall situations. You're absolutely right, Mayor. I mean, when you're standing in the street and you look, it doesn't take much intelligence to say we're higher, so water shouldn't go that way. However, when water goes into the ground, what's it going to do then?
Well,
that's a concern.
Well, and I wanted to let you know that the alderman and I have had lots of talks. We know we understand there's a lot of concern here, hopefully we've had the assistant city engineer who's been around here for a long time went out and also looked at the property. Mr. Deal, I've asked to look at it in great detail because of the concern that's been raised here. And so I think what we'll do is we'll probably transition over to Mr. Romeis to give us a report on, you know, things like the water problem that allegedly was there. Is that still there? What about the permeation of the water into the soils, which could go into the homes, and is that a real problem, or is that something that's not? So, Mr. Romeis?
Did indeed take a look at the grades as they relate to the proposed building on Lot 2, which is part of the CSL. And further, was in contact with the civil engineer that was evaluating and making recommendations on this particular site and asked him, you know, the key questions, things that I needed to know, whether he addressed. And yes, his response was correct. Accountability has been made on his part, and so I have a level of confidence in doing that. But it's always suggested to take a walk and take a look for yourself. And I did that. Took a walk out to the site, walked around, guided with a topography map, you know, map of the grades, and took a look at not only the proposed site, the Lot 2 area, and then also took a look at prairie grass. And again, having the master grading plan along with, saw the grading trends that were intended, went into our files, engineering files, and found level shots that were taken along the perimeter of your property, you know, that show that indeed your property does fall, tends to fall to the west, as would be consistent with how that area would grade. The intent really of prairie grass in that area was to intercept the water from, you know, going onto the Sweeney property as such, intercepted by swales and the grade itself, carrying to a point of intake, as the mayor previously indicated, and then out to the roadway where a pipe would lead it directly to the north. So there was even that precaution put into this, design, and it's reasonably consistent. Also noted that I think it was a good move that on your property there's a row, a standing row of pine trees that had an elevation, you know, around them of soil, but I believe that you probably extended that along the entire length, which acted as another, like a mini berm, a downstream berm.
But the property was compliant without that berm there. So that berm does not have to stay there. The property was compliant without it. So
it tends to be, and you've seen the documentation. You know, I'm telling you things that you know already from Bennett, the letters and over the years back in 2007, 2008, you know, the things that were noted, and there is general compliance with the grading plan. Yes, the intent was to grade to the west, and that's what the grades show us. Okay.
Well, I'm just making sure that you're not making any judgments or any recommendations based on the berm that I put in after the complaint was made, because that berm went in after my property was to be compliant, so that berm can come out tomorrow. So I just don't want any judgments based on that berm being there, because that wasn't done to make my property compliant.
Well, it would be my opinion that that's not the principal, saving or,
I guess I would ask that you address the chair, and that's okay, and that I asked you questions because you're the president of the Homeowner Association. As we move forward, I would ask the Plan Commission to suspend the regular order of business to allow people to speak individually on the matter. But given that you are the president, and I think you have probably legal standing to speak on behalf of the association, that's why I did that. But I don't want to get into a back and forth thing. There's a lot of people. Again, those chairs are, I know they're very hard. I've sat on them myself many a night. So I guess, Mr. Romeis, the question is with the improvements with the landscaping and the trees and the grading and all that, and your, I don't know, how many years do you have as a civil engineer?
47.
Is there a problem?
Not apparent, you know, there's no apparent problem. I do not foresee a problem. As Mr. Deal indicated, this isn't the end of the process. This is a step in the process, but it's not the end. A plat of survey, which will detail, you know, the building site, building grade elevation, would need to be submitted. Taking, you know, look at the footprint of the building, how it's going to be constructed. All that still is yet to come.
In all fairness, took one side before we open it up to those people that might want to speak on the subject. And we, by the way, this is very rare. We don't normally take testimony unless the Plan Commission suspends a regular order of business. But I'm going to ask Mr. Sweeney, Jr., I guess, anything you'd like to say? I guess you were here the last time. You didn't really have the opportunity to speak or whatever. So
You know what? I have Rob Davey. He is the engineer that's worked on this, you know, project for almost 10 months now. And I thought he'd be best to stay to the facts and technicality of just highlighting the swales and some of the things that he's worked on. So just to, you know, make the case a little bit more firm, a little bit more strong that things were done appropriately and it wasn't just haphazardly put together, and things were extremely reviewed on our end as well. So
okay. I guess what I'll do is I'll ask how many people would like to speak on this issue? 2, 3, 4. Okay. I'm going to ask for a suspension of the regular order of business to allow 4 individuals just raise their hands to speak.
So moved.
And, well, I'm also going to limit this to take no more than 10 minutes to 8. And if the Plan Commission wants to take more time on that, so be it. But is there a motion to
second
regular business? Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Will the four individuals just come up and just take your turns? I know some of the faces. And I have no idea why this is going on.
Are we going to speak at this one?
Yeah, at the one there. So, is that... Sorrel, can you see if that's working? If not, I'm going to have him come up here and sit in my chair and get the microphones working right.
Hello, I'm Rob Davey, president of Lake Country Engineering, and we were hired by Mike Sweeney to take a look at the property, develop the CSM, and make sure this lot worked. When we first went out there, we had no issues. There's probably 3 to 4 feet of drop across the lot, and we noted that the curb and gutter in the road kept any road water from coming to this lot. And there's also a very large swale due south of the lot where the house is going to get built itself that keeps any water from the south entering this lot. So we're really only dealing with the water that falls on the property itself under normal rainfall events. And in doing so, we had to manipulate the house a little bit. The building pad is irregular, and we shifted that house around and we tweaked the house, so to speak, to get it to fit on the lot. And then I looked at the grading plan, and we created two swales on the north side and one on the south side to direct any of the water.
Can you move the microphone up? Somebody said that it has something to do with being under a speaker or something. And every time that microphone moves, we get the same problem. I'm sorry. I apologize. Now we have it working.
Move it back, probably.
A little more. How's that microphone? Give him that microphone and take that one. Let's get this.
Give him the one off the table. Turn that one off.
I don't really care how it gets fixed. Fix it.
So we developed a lot with the swales to get the water to drain on either side, not hindering the floodplain at all. There's plenty of state, federal, city regulations that say you can't fill in a floodplain, so we're not. And we've got our first floor, I believe it's almost a little over 3 feet above the flood elevation. So in looking at this, I think we've done everything to comply. And I believe under normal rainfall events, been up to the 100-year, that we will not see any of the water come onto the property. It was a big help to have that swale to the south. I think it was designed as 1 foot deep, and in looking out there, I want to say it's about 3. So it's over-designed, in my opinion, to handle any water coming from the south, getting onto the property where the house is being placed in general.
How many years have you been in the business?
I've got my PE license for 25 years. I've owned Lake Country Engineering for 17 of those 25. I worked for Welsh Hanson for 10 years prior to that.
Thank you. And next, if you please state your name and address for the record.
Sure.
Is this the attorney?
No. Far from.
So give it to Mr. Deal.
My name is Kelly Smith. I'm the bordering property of the future... possible future lot 2. I'm on your plan. I'm lot 7 of Prairie Grass Preserve. And essentially, this is no malcontent. I'm not trying to be an unruly neighbor by any means, but our primary concern is water and drainage. And right now, I have a dry basement. I have to protect my house. It's my only investment of that magnitude. And so we did have someone take a look at it. She is an attorney, actually, and she did find something that was not addressed from all the piles of paperwork you have in front of you. And I can give you copies. And the main thing is that the property now of the Sweeneys is owned as a floodway district. Before tonight, to be honest, I have no idea what that was. But essentially under that, as you can see, that There's no, this has not been addressed, and there's some issues according to the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. And the issue is basically, this issue was obviously in accordance to the floodway district. You're not supposed to build necessarily anything grade or fill on this floodway district. All right. And I spoke to Ron about this today, and he's like, I haven't heard that term either. So it's actually part of the Unified Development Ordinance, sittings of Franklin. And so, and in, just to make it real brief, because I'm boring everyone in the room, it says, no approved zoning shall be divided into two or more zoning lots unless all approved zoning lots resulted in, from each division conformed with the applicable bulk regulations of the zoning district in which the property is located. And obviously you guys can read the rest of this, but that's the main concern, that that any type of change to a floodway district will change the surrounding properties. And those surrounding properties are ours. And I just want to hold people accountable, the future builders, City of Franklin, if I do get any type of basement issues. My basement's underground, which is not necessarily too, it's not much higher than where they're going to build. So there's a lot of, like Doug alluded to, there's a lot of things under the ground that you can't see. And I don't want to have to fix cracks in the basement and deal with the water issues. So this is the main concern for us at this point. So,
by the way, you're not boring any of us, and you're doing a great job.
Can you tell I'm not a public speaker? But anyways, so here's the paper. Hopefully you got it. And that just needs to be addressed. That's our main concern.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. City Attorney?
I haven't done any of the technical work on this, but I just quick read through the handout here, and there were 2 points. You can't build in a floodway zoning district. Is there any building going on here in the floodway zoning district, Mr. Deedle?
No, there is a map. There is a zoning map that shows floodways, and it's on one of the exhibits in the Planning Commission packets on the back of the aerial photograph. And the new floodplain approximates that old floodplain zoning. They're outside of both. So there is some floodway on this property. They are located out of it.
Well, we're not talking about a floodplain. It's a floodway district. The current zoning on the report to the Planning Commission, the certified survey map, it's an R3 suburban and state family resident district and floodway district.
Okay, so that I can refer to.
And number two, on the floodway zoning district, which is a zoning district,
correct. The
prohibition against split lot zoning, meaning you can't take a piece of property and zone it R1 for single family, and then even though it's one parcel, somewhere down the middle there's a line that's zoned B5 highway business. That's the split lot zoning prohibition, right?
Correct.
And with regard to floodway zoning, it's like the prior 1968 to 1998 zoning code with C1 Conservancy District. That is a natural resource. It is what it is, and it's marked for conservation, safety, and flood protection purposes. That split lot zoning doesn't apply, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's addressed.
Okay. Let's let the speakers.
excuse me. Jim O'Malley, 8536 River Terrace Drive. I'm here just to speak as a developer in the subdivision, realizing that a lot of subdivisions, you plan them well, you make sure that you have good drainage and such, and you know, and even after the fact, you still have sometimes issues you have to resolve. I've worked with Ron on Stonehenge subdivision to resolve some drainage issues, but the fact is what you're doing, the end result is make sure everybody is safe and protected and so forth, and you get it done and you do it right. I think that, you know, the city isn't making a decision trying to put something that's going to flood and such. I know that the issue of if there's hydraulic or the water table and such, I mean, that's an easy one to decide if you're going to have any basements based on when you're digging that basement. If you've got water coming up, you've got a high water table, but it's not to say that you're going to have that issue either. I guess the point being is Joel made a very good detailed point of saying all the things that are going to still need to happen and so forth. These are standard things, but more so, this is going to be looked at, I think, a lot stronger by all the departments. So I don't think for the concerns of the adjacent property owners, and certainly for the benefit of the Sweeneys, too, that they're not building without, you know, the best practice involved in this. You know, and one of the things that I think is important is it is a property right for the property owner to be able to do something. And if it doesn't not, if it's not illegal to do it, and they can do what they're looking to do, I think it's a property right that you should be considering that they're, you know, interested in doing something. You're making a very good stance of making them aware that, you know, there's existing conditions that they want to be aware of, and that while they are taking on to build their house, they should be considering how they can best avoid anything. And they've been given great notice to say, be sure you're not doing this, this, and this. And I think the mayor, you made a good point of saying, you know, we want you to realize there can be some serious penalties if you don't listen to what we're saying. I think they're listening to what you're saying. Of course, they're at the point, though, that they would really like to be able to get going. They've got their financing. Financing has, you know, deadlines and such. So they would like to be able to move forward. I came to speak only because I meant to write a letter. I didn't have time. I really appreciate the opportunity for you to allow me to speak. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Is there a motion to go back to the regular order of business? There's more.
It's all right.
Don't want to speak.
You're talking about the drain. John Lots of 9402 West Prairie Grass Way. I own the very first home in Prairie Grass. You guys are talking about drainage. I carry four homes, but the water goes all the way through the drainage ditch to Highway 100, underneath the culvert across the street. I've been there going on 6 years. I never had a wet basin. Never. My drainage ditch is 3 feet wide, the length of my property, and carry four more properties besides mine. Franklin or the county, whoever did a good job, because you can sit there and watch the water flow like a river, and 20 minutes later, there's no standing water. So I think I'm here to back at the Sweeneys. I'd like to see another new home be built. And I knew about the water problems in the past, and I was told that through the grapevines and stuff that things were taken care of. Doug put in all those nice big trees, and they suck up a lot of water. So I don't think there's going to be a problem. I'm not a scientist, but I'd like to see another new home built. That's why I'm here.
Well, thank you, sir. Is there a motion to go back to regular order of business? So, is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Deedle, how would you like to proceed?
We are recommending approval with a number of conditions of those recommendations. I would still support those recommendations and then leave the suggestions as suggestions for consideration by the Planning Commission. Again, those recommendations would be proper identification of the conservation easement, including those woodlands, signage or fencing for the delineation of the conservation easement, and the delineation of the secondary environmental corridor on CSM or plat survey.
Okay. Alderman Skrasky.
Yeah, I have a couple questions, Joe. In your professional opinion, does this application for this residence meet the zoning code?
Yes.
It does. And the grade of the new house on the first floor above the floodplain, what's the difference? Or maybe their engineer can answer that.
Or our engineer could.
Or Mr. Romeis.
It's about 3.3 feet.
Above?
From the top of foundation to the flood elevation.
And does that meet all the industry standards in your professional opinion?
Why don't we get the city engineers?
Yes, I'm asking Rob.
Yeah.
It does, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, it does. All right. The grade of the swale from where the new house pad is to be, what is the difference in that that carries the water to the west?
Mr. Rollins.
I'm sorry.
The grade of the house, first floor, that's normally, that's where the grade is set, and the house building site, to the swale that is to the south and west that drains to the west. What is where that water goes, and then where Mr. Huckstorp said that the water goes, that he has the four houses that goes to the east. Are they above that to meet the standards of the industry?
There's a fall from the, yeah, there is a significant enough fall from the delivery to the swale that will convey it then to
through the flood zone.
And even that matches the 100-year flood, which is way out as far as the standards of what MMSD and the DNR have. Am I correct? That they're high enough if this home is built and will not create water to the neighbors? That's where all this property went.
Unquestionably, not to the neighbors.
Okay. Let's see. I was looking here in the 100 flood. I'm trying to read the survey, the 1 through 7, in their survey that they have presented. Is that an adequate and correct survey for the city? There's 7 pages here.
Are you referring to the in the packet?
Yes.
Can we just wait till everybody turns to that?
It's underneath the colored page. There are 1 of 7 that have been presented showing all the grades, the legal description, and are these all correct that have been presented?
I believe most of the conditions, the suggestions, and recommendations for technical issues on the CSM have been addressed. We'd still want the conservation easement to be correctly shown mm-hmm. on the CSM, and then that secondary environmental quarter on the CSM or a separate plat survey. I believe those are the only 2 outstanding issues on the CSM, it's the conservation easement and that quarter.
So those are yet to be presented by the owner or his engineering firm?
Correct.
Okay, that's all I have at this point.
Mr. Deedle, all the points that Alderman Skronsky just raised, I think you answered these previously, but, you know, I used to sit out there as a resident that had no clue as to what a UDO is or what the ordinances are, the zoning. So we can just speak in plain language to the people so that they understand this. All the issues that Alderman Skronsky has raised, if the owner of the property was not to follow the direction of the planning staff and city engineering, what would you do?
Depending on the severity of the problem, everything from stop work order to we'll work with the guy.
Stop work order means what?
All action, all development, all construction has to immediately halt and stop.
Until it comes into compliance, until you're satisfied and the city engineer is satisfied. Is that correct? Because that's what the people want to know. And they also want to know is, are they going to have some problems with the stuff backing up into their basements? They're going to have flood problems. These are $800,000, $900,000 homes. They want to know. Is this a problem? Is this going to be a problem for the people? Well, I'd like to ask you, the city engineer.
There is the potential for drainage problems for the basement here. In other words, there will have to be
not the owner, but the people in Prairie Grass Preserve.
No.
Okay. Can you say that succinctly?
There will not be a problem with this development as it relates to Prairie Grass Preserve. Homes abutting this property.
That's what many of the people in the audience wanted to hear. That's what they're here tonight. They have every dime that's invested, their livelihoods in these homes. They have great concern over them. That's why they want to know. Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, and that has been my concern because I've listened to both sides of the property line here. And I have concerns with both sides. Mr. Sweeney has the right to build his house if he meets all the conditions and strengths. You have the right to ask the questions to make sure that in any way that your property will not be diminished or harmed in any way, and you have that right. I understand it. So at the same as you had the right to build your home there, Mr. Sweeney would have the right to build his home on that piece of property. We just want to make sure that all those conditions that may be out there are answered by our professionals that know what they're doing. They here represent not only the city, but they represent you as constituents of the city to make sure everything is correct. And that's what they're doing. Thank you.
Yeah, before I recognize Mr. Miklik, I see some familiar faces in the audience. I see Mr. Welbing that's out there. And nice to see you as always. And former president of our library board is also out there. I just wanted to make it clear, because I got a lot of letters on this, that we are striving to try and simplify the building process in the city. I know that with CarMex, We had some issues there. We've had some issues with other buildings. But the city has taken great steps in the last 2 years to try and streamline the process and to try and make this building process less complicated than it is. You should not have to be an electrical engineer to build a house in the city. And I think we're going to try and rectify that. Mr. Mickley?
I just had a question for Joel, but first I wanted to say I'm a person who had a basement filled with water 2-3 years ago, and I know how horrendous you were there. You saw how that was. If I would have known...
Did you get my bill, by the way?
Excuse me?
Did you get my bill?
It's pending. If I would have known that there was anything that some neighbor did to cause it or some adjoining construction had contributed to that, I know I would be very, very angry. As it was, it had nothing to do with any of that. It was actually the person who built my house did something wrong way before I bought it. So I know exactly how you feel. It's your biggest investment of your life. I'm still paying for that basement. But that's why there's a lot of vigilance involved here. The process isn't over tonight. There's a lot more hoops to be jumped through. The question I had for Joel was, is there precedent here in Franklin for an owner-financed signage to indicate conservation easements, something Mr. Sweeney would be able to look at?
One example. There was one subdivision where that was a condition. I'm not sure if that subdivision was built, but it was approved with that condition that they put signage in.
And did it actually occur? Did they actually do it?
I can't remember, because I want to say Carbon Heights. Then it was, yes.
It was. Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Fowler?
Yeah, since I was the one that kind of brought up some of the issues, I did go out with Joel and met with Mr. Sweeney at the site. I'd actually been there before and walked the site to brought up my initial concerns. As regards to the floodway district that is in our UDO, I'd have a question for the city attorney. It's my understanding that those floodway districts mimic the current, if there's a FEMA regulatory floodplain line, would be that floodway district. It's not the entire property, but that property that's designated by that floodway. That's the way it is in most communities, and I believe it's the same thing for Franklin. City attorney?
That's my understanding. I don't draw the lines, but I was at a meeting when the city engineer was presenting the FEMA map somewhere in the last 2 years, by my recollection.
I'm a trained certified floodplain manager. I always get excited about these issues as well. I did talk to the planners at SewerPAC, who do a lot of the floodplain modeling. One of my concerns as well was the fact that we have changed. The floodplains don't remain constant. And one, the only line that's shown on the map is the 100-year floodplain. There are other floodplains that aren't shown. That's the regulatory floodplain that you can't build. This is at the headwaters of Lyons Legends Creek. It's not, it reduces to a certain extent, there's a lot of statistics involved, but it does reduce to a certain extent the flooding problems that this property will occur. Looking to the south, when I looked at your properties and saw they are much higher in elevation on fill, it doesn't alleviate all the groundwater problems, but those groundwater problems I don't believe are going to be your problems. They're going to be Mr. Sweeney's problems, and I expressed those issues to him, and he's well aware of those issues. The other fact of the matter is, you know, we talked about the first floor elevation of the property. He's building a basement. I also expressed to him the issue that most of the mortgage companies, most of the banks will be not looking at the first floor elevation. They'll be looking at his basement elevation when they compare it to the 100-year flood elevation. And I suggested to him that he buy a preferred flood insurance prop because he's not in the floodplain or the regulatory floodplain, but he'll be able to buy that preferred risk. And he seemed to be very receptive to that suggestion. So my concerns, I believe, have been addressed. I think Mr. Sweeney is well aware of the risks he faced when he puts this basement in. I kind of laid it to him pretty straight about what I think is going to happen, and he seems to be satisfied that he accepts that risk. And I think he knows the steps he needs to take to mitigate those risks. And so I would be in support of this building going forward.
Okay. Any other? I just want to add that when Dave speaks, especially when it comes to flooding issues, he is the so-called resident expert for all of Milwaukee County and southeastern Wisconsin. And so...
I wouldn't go back for
it. Well, okay, so I'd lie. At least that's what I think. There have been a lot of mistakes, as you know, with where the Milwaukee County Parks now reside, where people were allowed to build in floodplains, only to have each and every year come in and flood their homes, and then the county government would have to come in and bail them out and all that. And so eventually what happened is that's how you got your park system, was the county finally said, that's enough, we're going to buy up all these homes. So I just want to say that when Dave starts to talk about these things, and all of us pay very, very close attention, because we know he knows what he's talking about. Anyone else wishing to speak on this? If not, I'll ask Mr. Fowler. I have a proposed motion. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being a redivision of all of Lot 2, a certified survey map number 1598, and a part of the northwest one-quarter and northeast one-quarter of the northeast one-quarter of Section 20, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, in the City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all is in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Who's here on the Vulcan issue, though? Okay, I think we'll take that next. Thank you very much for all of you. And we clearly do understand your concerns. And if you see any irregularity, give me a call.
Or call me.
Okay. Or call the office. Let's see.
I'll talk to you.
I guess we'll just take a second. Let's turn to this would be item 3C. This is Vulcan Materials Company, Payne and Dolan, Inc., Franklin, Corey, Seismic, Air Quality, and Other Monitoring. Commissioner Miglig asked that this item be placed on the agenda, and I was very happy to hear that he did wish to put this on here. We had a lot of discussion in the past, I don't know, months about quarries and berms and things of that nature. The city planner and I have had a lot of discussions regarding this, kind of the history of how did whatever happened to Aquifer, which was a recommendation of the quarry monitoring committee to the council some years ago, where the quarries, I think, each of them contributed up to $15,000 apiece, for a total of $30,000 to have Aquifer Chemical come in and monitor the sites. And I don't know if you've concluded your research on that, or?
To a large extent. Clearly, the motions of the Plan Commission meetings and Common Council meetings are pretty clear. There was a year-by-year contract for a couple years between the city and Aquifer. Then that changed by council action to a three-month contract.
Just one second. Mr. Sutherland, could you ask the people maybe to maybe move down the hallway or something? We have to keep the door open.
There's been a change.
Yeah.
Changed to a three-month contract, then it changed to a month-by-month contract, and then it was never renewed. The last contract expired in June of 2005.
Okay. And Mr. Miglick did ask to put this on, so I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Miglick.
The reason I put this on the agenda is because the last two quarry issues that came before the Plan Commission, while they had the word quarry in the agenda item, they weren't appropriate to discussion of the impact the quarry has to the surrounding neighborhoods. I went back and I read our document here, our PDD with Payne and Dolan, and in here it's pretty well laid out that we as the Plan Commission are responsible to make sure that that the impact to the residential areas surrounding the quarry has to be monitored, has to be updated, and the various things that I've looked into in learning what a Plan Commissioner does, what a planner does, it never got up to the point of explosives, so I didn't study explosives. I don't know how many explosives you need to get out a certain substrate, or how many times a day you need to do it, or what kind of rock shelf we have beneath Franklin that's causing these kind of things. But obviously we've had people come to meetings whenever the word quarry is on the agenda. They've got obvious complaints. They've got they've got pictures with cracks in their foundations. They've got dust issues. And I think we took it for granted that these things were being monitored. And I don't think they are being monitored. If they're not being monitored, and if they're being monitored by the quarry, then I think it's time that we invoke the PDD G2 on page 16, where it says the Plan Commission may indeed propose amendments to the ordinance that may require the operator to use different methods, processes, procedures, facilities, practices, or equipment in its quarry operations that will materially diminish adverse impacts on the community or nearby residents. And we have nearby residents. That's a planning issue. They were there. The quarry was there. It was zoned that way, so you have to take care of the people around the quarry. I talked to some residents who live farther away from the quarry than I would have ever imagined would be affected by something like this, and yet they are, and I can't explain that. What I'd like to see come out of this meeting is a motion to the Common Council to create a new monitoring system, independent monitoring. And in the PDD, we do have, and I don't know if this was amended afterwards, we do have a stipulation that says that the operators will finance this monitoring. We also have a stipulation that says every month the city fire department records ground vibration, but I don't think if I ask for a month-by-month breakdown, we're going to get one. Is that true?
Yeah, I can answer. I think that functioned because there was skepticism on the part that the fire department may have been prejudiced one way or the other. That the fire department at one point was relieved of that, but I don't remember that point. Mr. Deal?
Yeah, I don't know the reason why, but yes, 2000, well, they did monitoring up until Aquifer. Aquifer took over from the fire department. Aquifer did it for three years. They stopped doing it when their contract expired in June 2005. From that point forward, there was monitoring done by the aldermen of the district until 2010, and then the planning department and the administration department took it over from 2010. Monitoring of just the blasting. What you haven't touched on, one is the air quality, the particulates in the air, were only monitored for a couple years by the DNR, immediately after the PDD was approved. The DNR, a couple years after the PDD was approved, removed the air monitoring stations. Aquifer monitored for one quarter of 2004, I believe, and then stopped doing it because it wasn't covered by the contract. As far as I know, and according as to both quarries, no further air quality monitoring has been done. DNR can do it whenever they wish, unannounced site visits, but they have not required particulate matter or particulate monitoring or testing.
Aren't they employees in the quarry operating engineers?
Some of them are.
Aren't they covered under OSHA?
Yes, I asked them about that. I didn't get a very good answer. It appears to me is that there can be monitoring and there are standards, but there is no required monitoring. Their straight up answer was there is no required monitoring, although these agencies can impose that on them if they wish.
Mr. Deal, I'm trying to think when you became planning manager.
March 2006.
Who was your predecessor?
There was a gap for a couple months, then Mary Kay Barato.
Okay. Isn't it in the PDD, is that 18?
23.
That the zoning administrator is to be monitoring and is to be in charge of them?
No, I do word search, and I've read the whole thing. Very few times are any specific department or agency of the city. It's usually the city that's referenced in the monitoring or obtaining aerial photographs. One of the few instances is the fire department in the monitoring and the plan commission in the berms. Those are one of the few instances a specific department of the city is mentioned. Now, there were zoning issues at the beginning of the creation of the PDD. There were some properties that were zoned for other uses. There were specific references to the zoning administrator at that time in regard to the zoning issues.
Have you been in the quarry? Have you been looking?
I've been in the quarry twice in Payton Dolan, once in Vulcan.
Okay. Have you looked at their statistics and their...
We get those. Actually, the process is just off the top. I'll keep it real quick. The quarries call the administration department whenever they're about to do a blast. The administration department records the time of that blast, double checks that against the records that the quarries give us. The quarries give us the records of each and in every blast they undertake, and then we compare those. The administration department compares those to the information they gave us when they called, to the record they give us. The administration just recently, about a year ago, started a spreadsheet that compares all those blasts together.
Okay.
We do look at those numbers. There are two limits for blasting. One is for ground vibrations, another is for the volume, the air blast, decibel levels. Within each of those two, there's two limits. One's a lower limit that they can exceed 15% of the time in any calendar year, and there's an upper limit they're never supposed to exceed. In all the years, there have been some violations. I looked at every single blast through 2005. In 2008, they exceeded the Vulcan, not Payne and Dolan, Vulcan, exceeded the upper limit on the decibel level twice. The limit is 133. They did 134 once and 136 once.
Does that violate PDD 23?
Technically, yes. But there's also language about repeat violations and all those kinds of stuff, working with the applicant to resolve the situations. There's all that language in the PDD as well. Then there was another time where they exceeded that lower limit, Vulcan, 2009. They exceeded that lower limit, the 123 decibels. They're only supposed to do it 15% of the time in a year. They did it 20%.
And who was monitoring that at that time?
That was the alderman of the district.
In your discussions, because I have quite a history, I used to be the alderman of the district, and Mark Shore was the alderman of the district. There was created a quarry monitoring committee. I don't remember all the players on it, but I think Marge was on it. I think Fred Knippel was on it. Don Dorsen, maybe? I don't know. I may have even been on it. And I think I may have, and you were on it, I think I may have created it. I think I may have also made the motion to put aquifer chemical in the budget or when I was chairman of the finance committee. What happened to the quarry monitoring committee? And what happened to the aquifer chemical contract?
Again, the aquifer science and technology is the name of the firm. Again, their contract expired in June 2005. And was never renewed. And then the monitoring subcommittee, there was a motion at the Plan Commission the following month in 2005, I believe, to reappoint two new members, and it was tabled indefinitely. And that's the last record I can find.
I'm sorry, Mr. McLean. I thought I could fill in some of the...
Oh, I appreciate it. So... obviously, something needs to be done. We have to. There are people with legitimate concerns, and one of the problems I think that we're facing here is this whole idea of being surprised how far seismic vibration activity travels. The residents are reporting this all the way out to Pleasant View Elementary. I would have never guessed that you would feel anything out of Pleasant View Elementary. I'm two blocks away. I feel a little vibration. It hasn't caused any damage or anything, but just to the layman, you would think that it probably isn't going to travel that far. but there's no monitoring. There's no seismic recorder out there. And we haven't had any sort of real public hearing where we could bring everyone from the neighborhood in. I mean, you don't have to look too close at the map to see that the quarry has an impact. There it is. It has a visual impact. It has a air quality impact. It has a sound impact with trucks. It has impact on people's foundations with the cracks. The very least that we can do is make sure that we have in place a solid, regular monitoring program. And I don't think the operators are going to have any problem fulfilling their part of the PDD, which says that they will finance monitoring of air quality and noise and vibration. We have not taken them up on that, and I think it behooves us to make sure that gets done. And to use this process, use the public hearings to air some of these problems that are out there, and maybe shine a little light on this. The quarry may not even know that there are certain things they could change, small changes that they could make, that would make people's lives a little easier. So what I'm asking for is let's bring a motion to the council to put into motion some monitoring and make it independent and make sure that the quarry takes care of their financing of this.
Ms. Fowler?
I agree with that. We should put a monitoring into place. But I wonder if we should not at some point determine or make a recommendation on locations, distances from the quarry, types of monitoring we want at those different distances. Something that we might have to negotiate. I don't know if we'd have to go into a negotiation or if we just tell them this is what we want. But I think we need to have a plan, location, so that we have some control over the type of, or at least request that the council put some kind of locations, the types of monitoring and distances from the quarry, so that we go to the quarry with a plan that we want them to implement, so we have a starting point for negotiation. Or at least
just a comment. You used to have a quarry monitoring committee. Why don't you just reinstitute the quarry monitoring committee? I mean, just as a start as to what. At the last meeting, I don't know if you remember this, but I think Alderman Wilhelm was at the microphone. And I recommended that the Finance Committee take up the issue of reinstalling aquifer chemical. I just turned over my budget documents to them today. So I'm sorry.
I agree with Dave. I think we should also use the public hearing process as a means by which to find out where we need to measure particulates, where we need to measure seismic activity. Like I said, I was surprised to hear that there's a problem out as far as Pleasantville Elementary. I would not have guessed that. But if we give adequate notice and we can get enough people who have a concern or people who don't have a concern, who just want to know what's going on, we can get a map up and we decide where these things go. I mean, if we want to put a seismic recorder out at Furches, we'll put it out at Furches. We have every right to know what, if any, vibrations being felt at any point in the city. Of course, we want to be as effective as possible, so picking the right spots is good.
City Attorney and Alderman Skansky.
Here's maybe the simple, efficient answer. Number one, I 100% agree with the mayor and was pointing to the landfill monitoring committee, which has been in existence since approximately 1992, as an example of where you have a very specialized land use with technical and scientific information and knowledge required. And number two, as evidence of success, I would point to the August of 2010 landfill expansion, final public hearing and comment, where all the concerned citizens who had been appearing for years, I'm not going to put words in their mouth, but there were no objections to what could be a 3 million ton expansion over the years. So maybe the recommendation is to recreate the quarry monitoring committee. If it was tabled indefinitely, the common council can take it from the table and restructure it, appoint all new members, all terms would have expired by now, and you have a specialized
group of appointed citizens, maybe elected officials included, to hold public hearings, learn all the necessary technology and information on the subject matter, and address everything that's being spoken about here. And number two, I was surprised to find out that the quarry monitoring, which is being paid by the operators, which back 14 years ago was $15,000 per quarry, and that's adjusted over time, was not being used. And so the second part of the recommendation would be to reinstitute the quarry monitoring pursuant to Plan Development District number 23, and the other one's either 24 or 22.
I don't know if we have the documentation, but I thought the mayor nominated the members to the monitoring committee. I may be wrong.
I'm not sure.
Because I could, maybe right. We could get a good head start on this by.
Mr. Mayor, it's my recollection that when I was appointed, that I was appointed mayor. That's correct.
Because I think I put the ordinance together.
I was on the subcommittee four times. I recall that it was the subcommittee of the Plan Commission and the Environmental Commission, and members, at least at that time, there were members from the Plan Commission and members from the Environmental Commission. Now, whether that's construction is set in the ordinance or not, I do not know. I was pleased to hear that at a previous meeting, Mr. Mayor, where you had indicated that in the next budget you were going to reconsider funding for that. I do think, before we get too hasty here, we ought to go back and look at why, as I recall from Mr. Deedle's comment earlier, did the council take action to not continue the quarry monitoring?
No, they took no action.
They took no action. Okay, well, I could only presume that there must have been some reason why at the time, and so it probably would be useful to get on board with the common council here and to see. The quarry and the impact of the quarry on the community has been there for many, many years. So I can't imagine that that's something they simply would have just done idly with no thought or no consideration. So we probably should try to get in sync with the council on this point. And that perhaps that's the intent of Commissioner Midgley's motion to the council, recommendation to council. But I think that's a piece that should be picked up and engaged here. But yes, I have had some concern after having been a member of the monitoring committee at one point in the past, not knowing what ultimately came of it. I do think it would not be sufficient just to reconstitute the monitoring committee. I do think there needs to be some agency with the technical expertise to actually provide the monitoring. I'm not saying there isn't a role for the subcommittee or the quarry monitoring committee, but I do think it needs to be supported by the monitoring, the technical expertise, the actual an organization that has the equipment that will be at whatever locations are designated for both the blast monitoring and the air quality monitoring. So I do think it wouldn't be sufficient just to reconstitute the committee and provide people an opportunity to come and express their concerns. I do think it needs to be supported by the expertise and the regular monitoring, and that's why I was pleased to hear that the mayor was going to have that take that into consideration.
Well, I asked Alderman Wilhelm to convey that to the Finance Committee because they were still meeting, because she's on the Finance Committee. Maybe Mr. Fowler and Mr. Ritter, my recollection is that it was the Monitoring Committee that actually selected Aquifer Chemical and recommended Aquifer Chemical to the Common Council.
Aquifer was doing the monitoring at the time that I was on the committee. Now, that selection may have been done prior to when I was on the committee. I don't recall what the process was for selecting them.
They were under contract. I believe they had been the original monitoring one for years previous to that, and their contract was extended. I think the
prior to the expansion.
Yeah, prior to the expansion, and then they were given they had a contract that had years to be extended. So they had they started with a 3-year contract that you could extend for so many years, and once we reached the end of that, it just it got terminated.
Do you remember if the monitoring committee recommended it to the council?
No, we did not recommend it. To my best of my knowledge, we did not recommend it. I believe I replaced Mark Shore on the Quarry Monitoring Committee, I believe that's how it, I replaced her on the Environmental Commission. As part of that duty, I was to be on the monitoring.
I did see your hand out there. It's that once we suspend a regular, we need to suspend a regular order of business to allow people to speak. So,
but if I could just follow up, Mr. Mayor, would it be in order then at some point when we are done hearing testimony or not testimony, but listening to everybody's concerns, would we then want two motions, one to talk about reconstituting or recommending either to the mayor or to the council, whichever one for reconstituting the monitoring committee, and then a second motion to make a recommendation that we begin a process of determining, either have that quarry committee then begin the process of identifying the technical firm that can do the monitoring and perhaps locations and sites and the types of monitoring we want to do. Would that be in order?
Yeah, I think you should have two motions. I think you should have one, a recommendation to the county council to reinstigate the quarry monitoring committee, and two, a recommendation to the council, to the monitoring committee, that they should go about their due diligence to select firms that can do adequate scientific monitoring of the areas. And Mr. Bigley, what you said about there's nothing that prevents us from putting on seismic tools anywhere in the community. You know, whatever the plan commission wants to recommend. Actually, if you and Mr. Fowler want to serve on the quarry. Marge, I would ask.
There's actually an important amendment I'd like to add to any motion that has to do with a monitoring committee. And this is as a result of becoming sort of a student of the history of the city's relationship with the quarry. Certain promises made, not kept. I really believe I'd be more comfortable with a monitoring committee that had no elected officials on it whatsoever. Because when I look at the finance documents for people who run for office, and you cannot run for office at all without going out and getting some sort of contributions, there's no, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but these two operators contribute to elected officials. You can't help but feel that there's something. I would just like people to go in clean without feeling like they owe anything to anybody or anything like that. And you know, we bring people in with technical expertise. We bring people in who are local, close enough to know what the issues are, who have heard about these things. I think we get much better results.
Okay. Well, you want to make a motion?
If I can stumble through the motion, I'm going to need help from Jesse. Move to recommend to the Common Council that a quarry monitoring process be undertaken. That would be part one, correct? And the second motion. Okay. I'll wait for a second on that one.
Second. Okay.
And then.
Well, any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Second motion.
And then motion two would be to recommend the reconstitution of a quarry monitoring committee with the amendment that no elected officials be on the committee.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
I think that should be referred to staff to determine if the current ordinance has specified the composition of the committee. That's something that we should at least be aware of. I'm not saying people should vote for it, but if it requires an amendment to either or both of the ordinances, I think we should be aware that that would become necessary in order to make that change. So I think we should be aware of that before we take that action.
Okay.
I think it's subject to review.
This is a recommendation to the county council. Mr. City Attorney?
Just off the top of my head, whenever the subject matter for the Black Commission is here, I read through the PED 100 miles an hour. I don't think the quarry monitoring committee is the future of the PED, and if there is an ordinance, Mr. Dino said that it was indefinitely tabled when?
Summer of 2005.
Right, that's 6 years ago. All terms have expired, so reconstitute to the common council means. However, if the common council wishes to set it up, and if that's an ordinance amendment, it could be an ordinance amendment. Mr. Dito, you said the council tabled it indefinitely because there were appointments before the council?
Plan Commission tabled indefinitely the reappointment.
Plan Commission.
Okay. Plan Commission.
So anyway, the motion covers to be had dealt
with. Okay.
Without further study here tonight.
Any further discussion? Discussion on the motion, Mr. Fowler.
Just the last thing, my concern would be, if the council objects to that, do we have a fallback position where we could ask them that the elected officials not be in the majority on the board and monitoring committee if they object to not having elected officials? Maybe that's not necessary.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Did you wish to speak? I have to ask for a suspension of the regular order of business. Are there others that wish to speak? 3, 4? Okay.
I'll make a motion we suspend the regular order of business.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to suspend the regular order of business to allow, I think there's 5 individuals that want to speak. 6? Okay. Who wishes to be first? Oh, all those in favor of suspending regular order of business, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Yes, sir.
The other one's on this. That's the light. Number 11, Dusky, 8030 West Winston Way. I've come to some of these meetings and I never get any place with it. One of my objections, what's going on here with the quarries, is the fact that these permits are issued without the common council's knowledge and the people that live in the area's knowledge of what's going on. And I'll give you another example. It's the Loomis Rawson LLC filling in behind my property, which is a disaster, complete disaster, to let the city do all that kind of work. Now, these permits should be brought in front of the common council, just like we do for a licensing thing of bartenders and things like that. So they just look at it and pass it on. Make sure that everybody in the common council is aware of this and maybe notify the people that this is going to take place. This was under the table as far as I'm concerned. And one of the problems I also got is with the PDD 23. When I start talking to Joel over here, he's telling me that the map in the PDD 23 was not correct. And he said the correct map was a map that he had on the counter so that people could look. Well, how many maps, and now I heard from Fuchs that map isn't correct. If all these kind of maps are not correct, how correct is the PDD 23? How can we do business when we have paperwork that isn't any good? Now, we don't even have all the aerial maps of the recent weeks or months or years that are supposed to be produced, and it seems like there are no records kept of where and how we get these maps from the quarries. I can't understand how the city can do business if we don't have a decent PDD 23 that we could rely on and say it's correct all the way through. What's the purpose of a PDD 23? This map now shows that I got that the PDD 23 goes over the private property way. When? In 1997? That this goes over these properties here. And that should not be. There's something wrong with this thing coming up. And they said it was per the description of the PDD 23. Who interpreted it?
Where did you get the map from?
Planning.
Okay.
So why would you have a PDD 23 going into what is zoned residential? There's no reason. There's no reason for that ever to be there. It's a mistake. This is another mistake of maps as far as I'm concerned. And one of the things about permits, I just want to reflect the fact that I had suggested to Mr. Ron Romeis one day that 8,000 yards of dirt was moved behind the mill office back there. And I asked him to put an environmental fence in there. And why that dirt was moved. There was no permit for those people in that area, the Forest Hill to move that dirt. There was no permit. There should have been a permit. There should have been environmental fence. This keeps going on in the city. I drive through the city deliberately at least three times a week just to see what's going on. And it's a disgrace to see what's going on. I mentioned to you about the landfill. We've got a problem with the quarries. I have a car. I drive it through the Rawson Avenue. And when I get through, if it's wet, the cement that the dust turned to just sticks on it. I took it over to College Avenue to blast it off. Nothing comes off. I have to take it home and take a mint and rub it off. That's how bad it is.
I can get to one of your questions. Drexel, the lines. Ron, we just talked about it.
Drexel?
Yes.
The lines?
Yes. That is under contract. That work will be completed next week.
What is?
The striping, the white striping along Drexel to assist on the perimeter lines.
Yeah.
Drexel,
well, that's another issue that, you know, it just kind of drags on and on. If you get a job, let's do the job and get it done right. And like the South 60th Street, it must have taken 3 months to get that whole, all the concrete in place and everything else. And it just looks like we're dragging our feet. There's somebody's got to, I say, micromanage these departments if we need to do that and get the things going. Now, they did something about temporary, I hope it works, the flooding that's behind the property that I live in, the neighborhood I live in. That water, and I showed pictures of it. We had Niagara Falls coming through with a foot and a half of water, 15 feet deep. They put a 15-inch pipe in there, and my engineering says, no, it ain't going to work. But he says he's going to put it in so I can tell him I told you so. But it's just that there's too much water. The O'Malley's subdivision on the west side of Loomis Road is causing all that water.
The city attorney is reminding me that we're a little bit off the agenda. We've suspended regular business to talk about
One of the things is the permits that are being issued has to be changed. We can't just issue a permit. I believe that the engineering people are the one that issues all the permits, even for the quarry. Is that correct? You issued them?
We issue fill and land disturbance permits. Okay.
You did issue it for the quarries. Yep. Engineering. That's what I mean. They should take a better look at what's going on then. If they're the ones that are issuing, somebody requested it, and all these permits should be coming through the Common Council just like licensing.
Well, as Alderman Bergman used to say, so noted. For the record, we understand.
Well, I'm just kind of upset with what's going on in this city.
I understand. Next. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Mike Gordon. I live at 5700 West Allwood Drive. My backyard is on Drexel. I'm in the center, east to west, of the quarry area on Drexel. The homes on my street, with the exception of one or two, have had basement problems, some of them numerous times, to the point of excavation, putting steel beams up to hold the walls in place, for a point to be taken. Some of the things that disturbed me, I received the question answers from a prior meeting that we had, and the citizens expressed concerns. We received the answers back. One of the things that was on there that disturbed me was the aerial photographing of the quarry. It was said it was supposed to be twice a year. How many years it said since they've received one? 6-7 years? And we haven't received one. And they didn't say, didn't receive it. They said we could not locate it. So I don't know if you ever got them, if they were mislaid or what. If they're mislaid, that's City Hall's problem.
Right.
If they didn't receive them, it's still a City Hall's problem because you're the ones that are supposed to be getting them. And you should be addressing this with the quarry.
Correct.
Okay. Now, it was brought up about violations. A couple of years back, I addressed a prior alderman in my district, and he put me in touch with a gentleman that was in charge of Payne and Dolan. It was about the berm that was being built at that time and how to make it as aesthetically pleasing as possible. Okay. He took us down into the quarry. He asked for, there was a neighbor of mine and myself. And he talked about the fence that was to be put up to keep people from strolling in the quarry area. We made a suggestion that it not be put in the lower level because it would look like it was a big fence to the eye. So it was put on the top of the lower berm set back. Okay, they did that. At that time, I was told that Payne and Dolan blasted more frequently than Vulcan, but lower blasts, lower level blasts. Vulcan blasted less frequently, but to the top end limit that they were allowed to blast. And I think this is evident when you said Vulcan had a couple of violations. Okay, I don't know who's causing problems or if they indeed are. I suspect they are. If these monitoring devices that you're talking about being put out, if we had the aerial maps, we'd know what areas they are they're digging in and blasting in, so that you can appropriately put your monitoring devices in and select a proper area to put the monitoring devices, because this will change with time as to where they're blasting in the quarry, at the north end or the east end or whatever, and especially with Payne and Dolan having such a large area. So these are the concerns I have. I think these aerial photographs have to be gotten. I'd like to know, have they come? If they have, who's got them? You say you can't locate them. So, okay. I thank you. Mr. Micklick, I appreciate your comments. I think you've got a handle on this. All right. Thank you.
Could I ask, sir?
Yes,
sir. When you talk about basement problems, are the walls, is it from, are you sure it's from the door port, or are there water issues?
I'm not an engineer, but I have checked with an engineering company that came in. They did not say that. They did not say that it was
dead. The city is responsible for this microphone. I'm serious. This is about the 50th time that I've said get this thing fixed, and it's not. So I want this fixed. So whoever, if it's Mr. LeBird or whatever, get this thing fixed. Sorry, sir.
Okay, no problem. Like I say, I've had to have the steel beams put in. My deflection was not enough that I had to excavate. They could not say whether it was the fine Franklin soil that we have, the clay, or the quarry. They did not make it decisive.
Yeah, I've got that same clay in my back.
Yeah, I think anybody that lives this side of 128th Street has got the great clay. You dig a hole in your yard, pour a gallon of water in, and 2 weeks later it's still there. Okay.
I remember when I wanted to put in a row of arborvitaes in my backyard and encountered putting the shovel on the ground and just sticking right there.
I just want to be certain that we identify
the correct solution if there is a problem with spaces. I understand some cracks will be caused by the seismic vibrations, but usually wall bulging is related, in my experience, to water or flooding issues.
Could very well be. I had my grade checked.
Do we identify the correct problem?
I had my grade checked. My grade is good. At least that's what they tell me, that I don't have a water problem. And one wall that was the worst, 3 foot out from that wall, is dry even in the wintertime, which is surprising. I don't get snow there. It's the west wall. I don't know what to tell you. I've seen a lot of basements dug up, the perimeter of the basements, and rebuilt. I've seen a lot of beams go into basements, my neighbors. I do get the vibration dramatically. I don't know if it's Payne and Dolan or Vulcan. I suspect it may be Vulcan because they blast at a higher level. At least that's so I've been told, and your violations kind of indicate that. So these are my concerns that I wish you'd address. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Marge Shore, 8046 South 60th Street. I want to say this morning when I was going to the doctor about 9:15, being as the mayor said, the trucks were coming out of Franklin Aggregates. The dust was unreal. And there was no cop, no sheriff. I sat there for about 12 minutes and watched them because I had an appointment. But it was awful. And I'll tell you, this last week in my neighborhood, it was so bad. The people said, what do we do? Should we run over to the car wash? And I said, don't go to the car wash. If you get hot water, you'll never get it off. And it happened to rain. And it rained some of it off. But you can't believe how all those cars outside looked. They were just white. In my garage, I put mine in the garage, and there's still stuff comes in there. So the dust is awful. So I called up the Coreys, and Mr. Fatty's supposed to be in charge of the environmental of the Corey there, and he's supposed to take care of why that's happening like that, but the dust was horrible. The other thing is I'm very perturbed by you guys criticizing me on the recreational trail, the 10-year discussion on the Corey. And I talked to past aldermen on that, and they remember it, and about you telling me the WDNR wetland inventory is not a true potential and mapped wetlands. So, Mayor, can I give you my map so you have it?
Yeah.
I think you guys think I'm lying or something.
Are you referring to a certain individual here, or? Okay.
And last of all, I want to know if the quarry has to produce a national resource plan on their wetlands, as you're asking the Sweeneys to produce. And I wondered if they have to make a natural resource plan.
Are you taking notes of all these questions? Let me ask you one question, Marge. Did you get the answers to the 57 questions?
Yes, okay. We got them this last week.
Okay, good.
Well, I think I got mine Friday.
Answers?
Yeah.
Okay.
The answers.
So they were sent out.
I never got any. I didn't get any.
Maybe you can make it possible to get a couple extra copies for the people.
If they give us an email address or stop by our office, we'll give you copies.
Could somebody run down to right now and maybe get it?
I'll have to go.
I know when you said about the aquifer quitting in 2005, well, I know why, but I'm not going to say because it's in the past, but that was dumped on us, too. It should have been going. And I think the quarries would be glad to pay for any of this. I don't think the citizens or the city has to pay for it. I think the quarries will be glad to pay for it.
My recollection is they did, right?
Well, I think the last time we paid part of it, but
They paid the full thing for that.
But there was like a decision whether to or whether not to, but they will pay. I know they'll gladly pay for it. And talking about, I talk to them all the time. They know me by just when I call. But their blasting is horrible. It really is. And when he said it, your whole house shakes. I can't believe that my house is still standing. And the neighbors all say it. And they will not call the quarries because they said it don't do any good. The city don't do anything. And, you know, and I know why you have a problem of having the people that are on the committees in charge of the blasting and that stuff, because that's the rumor that's around. Well, the quarries give money to all these different members, and so naturally they're going to stick up for them. So when you brought that up, it is true that they do say that. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak?
Hi, Shirley Sims, 7716 South 51st Street in Franklin. I just want to know, we're trying to figure out if the quarry in the wrong or aren't they. But if you go on 51st Street from Barks, they've got the whole berm built, they've got trees planted, they're not paying attention to what we say. They're not even checking anything. They're going to keep going and go past my house pretty soon now because no one wants to stop them. Isn't there a way we can put a stop in, like they had before? They want to stop something, you put a stop in, and they have to stop until everything is settled.
When Mr. Deedle returns, we can take him through that.
Okay.
But I think he answered many of those questions at the last meeting, but we'll take him through it again because I don't know if you were here when to hear that sewer pack actually went out and walked the properties. But when he comes back, we'll ask him.
Okay.
Well, anyone else? If you could, please your name and address for the record.
My name is Penny Donosky, and I live in River Heights.
What's the
address? 7985 South 57th Street.
Thank you.
And I guess I have several questions. I guess in the first place, I mean, I was never told that the answers to these questions came about. Now, we waited 2 weeks to get these just printed up. What is the problem? You know what? I'll bet you Payne and Dolan walked in. They said we want to just put up another berm, and I bet they went, snap, there it is. But we wait 2 weeks to get something just printed up. I mean, it gets ridiculous. The monitoring of the quarries. I mean, they were supposed to be monitored all through. I mean, in the PDD, it is stipulated that they're supposed to be monitored, and they were supposed to pay for it. My gosh, they're way undertaxed. I mean, like I said before when I was up here, my subdivision pays a heck of a lot more than they pay. But you're willing to blast us right off of our foundations. What is that? That sounds like it should be a class action suit. And air quality? There's dust coming over all the time. Everything around my house is so covered with dust all the time. And the other day, we had all that overcast, the stuff that was coming in from Minnesota. Do you know that the asphalt plant was running? You could smell it like crazy. Well, you know what? I go to work every day. I go to work because I need to pay the excessively high taxes. that I have to pay from my house to get blasted off its bloody foundation. Thank you. And, you know, maybe a lot of people here don't have a stake in these, the outcomes of what is going on. Well, I do. And there's a ton of people that do. You know, a lot of people just don't know about it. You have your little meetings at the last minute. How does, I mean, thank heavens.
Excuse me. Try to turn this off. Sorry. Go ahead.
The monitoring has never been done. I mean, for years. There are so many things that haven't been done because apparently Franklin just doesn't care. And it doesn't, as far as I know, that would be a legally binding document, isn't it? The PDD?
City attorney?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yep.
Ooh, then you're in violation, hon. All of you. Everybody who has been running Franklin is in violation because you've all been a part of it. Everybody. Does anybody do stuff like that without some kind of gain for that? There's a lot of things in these questions. I mean, I don't know, because I wasn't notified that there were any answers.
How many notices did you send out?
We provided copies to everyone who gave us their email.
How many was it, approximately?
15, 20.
Okay.
Most of the people who attended the neighborhood meeting, except for a few, gave us their email.
And you have the answers you've given?
They had my phone number.
All right.
And there's so many things that just haven't been addressed. And allowing, I mean, you're willing to put a stop work order on that was the house that was being put up. You're really worried about that house and how it could impact everybody around it. But a quarry that's blasting, can you imagine if those people that were in here were being affected by a quarry? And my basement has been fixed. Big money. Lots of money. Thousands and thousands. And moving the berms, it's going to look terrible. It's going to look absolutely terrible if they move all those berms. And you know what? It does nothing. They increased the berm on Drexel. Did nothing. My house shakes. And like I said, the city is in violation. They haven't lived up to their end of the bargain. Either have the quarries, and calling the quarries to complain about the blasting is ludicrous. I guess it's so, this is so huge. The total impact from the damage and the potential damage that could be done. I mean, if it's this bad now, if they can move those berms, they have not, the city has not made them do aerial photos? I mean, the city is so in default of the law. It's monumental. It's monumental. And, I mean, if you can just... People are tired of it. I'm tired of it. And, I mean, I suppose I could just turn around and just sell my house. Then what?
Can I ask you a question? There's two motions that were made by Mr. Micklick tonight. One is to reestablish a quarry monitoring committee. Are you in favor of that?
I was on it at one time.
Are you in favor of that?
Well, that's one thing, but you know what? The city just discontinued it.
Well, I'm just asking, are you in favor of that?
Yes, but first, I want a stop work order. You were willing to do it for a property, but you're not willing to do it for a subdivision, an entire subdivision? Not only one subdivision, subdivisions on all sides of the quarry.
I believe at previous meetings, what you've asked for is that there be a cease and desist of any quarry activity whatsoever. Is that something you'd like the Plan Commission to recommend to the County Council?
Actually, yes.
Then
we want aerial photos.
But in essence, you'd like the quarry to stop operations immediately.
You know what? The quarries apparently get more money or whatever when they're going on the top layers. They can go down farther.
I think they're projecting another 50 years of mining. Something like that.
Well, they're not going to be doing it in my backyard.
I'm just talking about within the...
Because then Franklin is going to be paying for my house. And I guess, for right now, that's all I have to say. And I guess I'm going to be at every meeting. I'm going to bug everybody, and I'll do more than that if I have to.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
My name is Terry Rogers. I live at 4750 West Marquette Avenue, across the street from Pleasant View Elementary. So I live quite a ways away from the quarry, and I have extremely bad blasting at my house. I've called the quarry. They've come to my house and put the seismograph in. And for 2 weeks while the seismograph was there, very mild blasting, everything was fine. Then they came and picked it up, took it to their place to do the readings. 2 days later, the blasting was back. I think that I'm not a political guy, I'm just a regular guy, but I've come to these meetings and listened to these people with their concerns, and I truly believe that you can't fix the problem. I think the problem has to be taken to the people, and I think that a class action suit is the only way to fix this. I've talked to a lot of people in my neighborhood in Rawson Heights, and I've talked to friends that live in other subdivisions who are very interested in doing this. Whether that's going to do anything to the quarry, I get the quarry. I know that it's a business and it's there, and I'm not saying they should close. I'm saying what they need to do is tone down the blasting. And if they're not willing to do that, then the people need to take this upon themselves to fix it. Because obviously, you've had commissions and boards, and for years you've been trying to stop the problem, but it's not going anywhere. I don't think it can be fixed. I apologize, but I don't think you have the ability to fix the problem. And I think the people, as a group, are the only way to fix this problem.
Do you have the PDD, Mr. Deedle?
For Payne and Dolan.
Well, Mr. Micklick might have it.
Yeah.
Do you have the date on that? Always passed.
It'll be further in.
'96 is my recollection, but I'm not going to go by that.
City attorney's looking.
passed and adopted by the Common Council on June 3rd, 1997.
Seven. Thanks.
Okay. June 3rd, 1997. I think it's signed by former Mayor Fred Clements.
Clements, yeah.
Okay. And the council in 1997, I don't know who was sitting on there because I didn't become an alderman until 1999. So I'm not sure that any of the plan commissioners up here, maybe Mr. Ritter was around at that time. Mr. Bennett, I'm sure, was here. The documents that we're all talking about are historical documents that were signed and passed in 1997. And my recollection is, because I wasn't really that involved in Franklin politics, is that was a huge issue, political issue, and it had involved the entire city, right?
We actually sat down with the PDD to get together, a group of people, and it's reasonable. They didn't like it, so finally they took it upon themselves.
Do you remember who was sitting on the Common Council at that time?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Yes, I very much know.
Well, it's the reason I bring that up, sir, is because you're saying, you know, what we can and cannot do in all these commissions and boards and things like that. The document that was passed is a legal document. I think somebody asked that before, and there are provisions in there and there were agreements made and signed off by the mayor of the city and passed by a majority of the Common Council members. So I'm just trying to put some perspective on 1997 as the document that we're dealing with.
But since 1997, has the blasting increased? Has the air quality worsened? I mean, we don't even know because nobody's looking at it. And if I'm pouring sludge off my property into a waterway, I would be responsible for cleaning up the waterway and reporting on what I'm putting in there. But the quarry is not being held to any standard.
Well, the DNR, for quite some time, was monitoring and had monitoring stations out there. When we just discovered that the DNR stopped it, that's when we first started becoming aware of this. However, having said that, I'm a former union leader many, many years ago, and the regulations that are in place in collective bargaining agreements regarding workers and OSHA rules, the workers that are in there, are probably much higher than the standards that we have included either in the state law or in the PDD. So when we say that there's no monitoring being going on, that's not necessarily correct. And we're going to have to investigate all that. The other thing is the machinery that's in there, the heavy-duty, what do they call those, Terexes or something like that. They have to have breathers on them, You can't have the clogging on there, so there's a monitoring of that going on. But I would totally agree that we should have reinstitute monitoring stations all over the place.
And however, I don't think that the citizens or the people of Franklin should be in any way responsible for that. We're not causing the problem.
Right.
If there are seismographs that need to be put in, maybe we need to get with the Sierra Club. I mean, they're the kind of people that deal with these things.
Well, I think the Sierra Club actually was involved at one time, and so is the anti-mining group and the mining group and the brothers of the mining group and the fathers. I mean, everybody and their brother was. This was the center of the universe for the issue of the quarries. Right? I wasn't here at the time, but that's my recollection.
I went through some books, and my husband's got so many things from the DNR that he used to talk.
Right.
I mean, Sandy Hall and stuff.
Right, and I think the reason it dwindles away is because let's be realistic. There's eight people here. If there were so many people in here that they were standing out the doors, then I think there is more attention given. And I truly believe that Payne and Dolan, it's all about business. The bigger the blast, the bigger the payload, the faster the money comes in. If they just did small, I don't have a problem with the quarry being there. When I bought my house 10 years ago, the quarry was there. I knew that. But the blasting is ridiculous. That's what everybody's problem is, the blasting, and the smaller the blast, you wouldn't have as much fallout with the air quality.
Now you're probably not going to like what I'm going to say next, but there's been some the discussion about there's been no monitoring. Actually, there has been monitoring. It was performed by the former alderman of the district, who was a professional engineer. And the documentation and the seismic blasts were also sent into the director of the administration's office, whether that be Mr. Liberta or Mr. Petrie. And so there's documentation for all those years. And you went through all of those documents. And there was only two times, which is too many, two times too many, that there were actually exceeded the requirements of the PDD. Right?
And one clarification I forgot to say. That's measured inside the quarry. PDD states they have to exceed those levels at the nearest inhabited building outside the quarry. And there are studies that say both the vibrations and the sound blast decrease the further away you get from the quarry. We had a study done, or I should say the quarries had a study done.
When was the study done?
When we worked on the PDD, 1997.
Okay, it is now 2011. How do we know that the blasting hasn't increased?
And more... We have. We have the blasting records of every single blast that they ever take. We get those records.
And has anything exceeded?
The numbers of blasts have decreased since 2000.
Who gives you those numbers? Are you, is it an independent company?
They call us.
So Payne and Dolan does a blast, they record it, and they call you, and they give you a number.
And then they send us
who verifies that number?
When we get complaints.
We don't take their word for it, I certainly hope.
When we get complaints, we compare the two.
When I complained, I was transferred to Payne and Dolan. So nobody asked me, what's your name, when did this blast happen? So we at Franklin can verify what the blast was.
We have a complaint form. You fill out the complaint form, keep a copy of it.
I was told, here's the number of Payne and Dolan. And I call Payne and Dolan, and there's always a guy that will always call you back. He's the nicest guy in the world. He wants to be your best friend. But I don't want him as my best friend. I want the blasting to, I don't want the blasting to stop. I want the blasting to decrease. And maybe what the problem is maybe the board set the standard too high for blasting. Maybe it needs to be re-looked at and lowered. Again, it's all about payload. The bigger the blast, the more money they make in a shorter amount of time. I mean, it's all about, this whole thing is about money. That's what it is. And I live in Franklin, and so do a lot of other people, and again, they're right. I could fill this room up with people who pay more taxes than the quarry does. And if that's what you want, then that's what we need to do. But something has to be done. Again, 10 years I've lived in Franklin. I've been to two of these meetings, and I'm listening to these people. And last week outside, went home and talked to some more people. And there's a lot of people that are very, very upset. And if that's what you guys want to see, a bigger room to get something done, you're going to see it.
Why do they say it's manufacturing instead of money? Because they pay $139,000 a year, and Vulcan pays $107,000, and they call it manufacturing and not mining. They call it mining, but they say manufacturing. So are they taxed at that rate? Is what I want to know.
I'll have to look into that. Was anyone else? I thought you wanted to speak.
You know, I don't need the microphone. My name is Debbie Eggert. I reside at 7728 South 51st Street, directly across the street from the quarry. I just have a couple things that I thought of just off the top of my head. I really appreciate Mr. McWilliams' comments about reinstating this monitoring. I think it definitely needs to be done. I think in any business owner, you're not going to do the same things 10 years down the road that you did 10 years ago. Things change, upgrades, whatever. But I think I would be very concerned if the quarry were monitoring its own activities. I own a small business myself, and if I were to monitor myself and evaluate myself, obviously my evaluation would be biased. The same thing with the quarry. They put up these monitoring stations, and they could put one on the opposite side of the quarry where the blasting is being done, and they'd come back with statistics that say, oh, it's barely, no decibels, barely anything, when the actual monitoring should be done directly across from the blasting zone, because that's where the people that are feeling the most impact. And I'm thinking that perhaps I'm in that quadrant, because I've just got so much damage on the house that we live in, that it's just the quality of the house has just gone downhill. If you look at the front cement flower bed, I guess that's it actually hangs off the house now. It went from this far. It's this. My husband tried to foam it up. I mean, without literally taking it off, there's not much I can do about it. But that's another issue. Okay, so I would be concerned about the quarry monitoring its own activities. Again, it's like a physician saying, I do a great job when I get sick. If we have a monitoring committee, who would they answer to? Would they answer to the Common Council? Would that information be made public? Would the people that are concerned about this, would they be able to find out what the...
Actually, I think it used to be a subcommittee of the Environmental Commission.
Okay.
I think. I'm looking at Marge because I don't remember. It's been so many years ago.
The meetings were publicly noticed, and the meeting minutes were published.
Okay.
Okay, maybe we should dig up those minutes of the quarry monitoring.
And if there were violations, obviously the people being affected by the violations are the people that are having the damage. The city might be the one to get the fees or whatever impose upon the quarry for these violations, but it's the people with the properties that are going to have the impact.
Do you mind if I ask one question? Has there been any violations of PD 23 except for those two violations?
And even those are just possible violations. Remember, they're measured inside the quarry. They barely exceed the limits. And the PDD says it's measured at the nearest habited structure. And those limits, those volumes, both vibration and the air blast, decrease with distance.
Well, I think Mr. Nicholas has brought a big issue here, and that's that the Plan Commission, by virtue of PDD 23, is actually charged with monitoring this.
I don't agree
with that.
Okay. I've read it. It says the Plan Commission, it says monitoring. The only time it says monitoring is the quarries will pay for it.
Okay.
And then it says reports, and that says the quarries will give reports on the blasting.
Well, since 1997, I don't know how far your research is, how many times has the quarry been in violation of PDD 23?
I haven't gone back past 2005. So
since
2005. Possible violations from 2005, three possible ones.
Okay. How many times were they cited?
None. From 2005. None.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Mr.
Mickley? Actually, what the key clause, I guess you would call it, is G2, page 16, where it says, Plan Commission may... and I'm going to say should. The Plan Commission may propose amendments to this ordinance that require use by the operator of new methods, processes, procedures, facilities, practices, or equipment in its quarry operations that will materially diminish adverse impacts on the community or nearby residents. So if we define, based on public hearings, input from the people who live around the quarry, that 5 years of this much blasting causes damage, we've learned something we didn't know before, because we were letting this much blasting go before, and that didn't damage anything just one time. And that's what we have. We have power of amendment. We have responsibility of amendment. So, no, we don't. I don't delude myself thinking we're responsible to monitor, but we are responsible to amend based on experience and further knowledge.
Oh, sorry, ma'am, you have the floor.
I'm sorry. I'll try and wrap it up because I know it's late and we're all very tired. It's a valid point. I think we need to do the monitoring, because if you allow the quarry to monitor, you're going to get statistics that aren't going to be accurate. And you need to monitor in different areas and unbeknownst, random spots, because the blasting probably goes on in a certain quadrant, but you need to see how it impacts other people around the quarry as well.
And I don't want to interrupt you again, but I think I'm going to put a time limit about 20 after on this, because we do have other items on our agenda.
All right, so I think I've covered everything. And it seems as though, just listening to some of the comments about the quarry, that things that were promised by them were kind of let go, and the walking path, I know a lot of people look forward to that, and yes, there is one, but it wasn't what it was originally supposed to be. It seems like it was like, but I think the main concern that people are actually here, the thing that prompted all of this, was the fact that the berms were moved so close to the road. As a person that lives right on 51st Street, I am concerned about the berms and the dirt, but I'm also concerned about the quality of the road in the winter. And if you've ever driven down 51st Street in the winter, the snow is drifting and it's difficult for buses to get through for the schools. How is that going to impact the quality of the road when the buses and all the cars are trying to get to the high school? I'm kind of worried about that as well, because I have trouble getting out of my driveway with all the traffic on the road. So I think that pretty much covers everything.
Did you get answers to the questions? 57?
I did not, but I can get them. I know who
okay,
I did.
Because maybe some of those answers might be in there.
I think the main thing that brought us all here was the berms were being moved. We were concerned they were so close to the road. They definitely impact the quality of the view from your home and your property. And
I'm not going to try and quote Mr. Deedle, but I think
you said that the berms are actually required pursuant to the PDD by ordinance.
And modifications are allowed.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I just want to make a comment.
If you could, please state your name and address.
Oh, Donna Del Angel, and I live on Drexel, and on 7968 South Drexel. And I just want to make a comment. About 2 years ago, I went to their 4th of July where they had tours down in the quarry, and I went down there, and I was talking to the guy that was doing the touring, and I asked him, I said, just kind of offhanded, I says, how do you measure your blasting? I says, because I live right across the street from you almost, and I says, my things shake, my walls, my stuff, things fall off and everything. And I says, is there ever a chance that you, Vulcan and Pan, if you guys sound off at the same time, that you forget, and they, you know, who's who? And they said, oh, no. I said, we always measure, and we measure, and we're in compliance with the blasting, with the city and us, so we're always under the blasting. And I think that was a lie they told us, because I don't think that was true. And this was like 2 years ago when I went down there, and I just want to make a comment that they do not tell the truth.
I mean, I know that, having been the alderman, I know that occasionally they'd get what I call cowboys that were trying to make quotas or something. That's my opinion. And that they would exceed the blasting. They would even though they were warned by their bosses and told by us and all that. And they would just go and ignore some of the stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the guys that are driving the trucks out of the quarry without putting the covers. And I think Leroy told me that they don't really have to do that, but nonetheless, they should do that.
And they should have.
And they create all the dust. There's a big thing about public relations and doing the job right and respecting the people in the neighborhood.
Right. I mean, that was just a comment that I, and then I, when I, it was just offhanded when I said, well, is there really such a thing that you don't get mixed up with pay, you know, with both of you guys going off at the same time? I said, because sometimes it is super loud and it just shakes my house and everybody jumps at like, wow, what was that? My dog even jumps up and looks around like, what was that, you know?
Right. Well, Marge knows I live right by the quarry and I get the same thing, so it's don't feel alone.
Yeah, so I mean, and then they tell me that they always keep track of it. And I noticed they had something over by the water tower, on the water house over on 58th and Drexel there, and they had something there, and they said that was supposed to do something, but I mean, they never did. Thank you.
One last question. Since this quarry is a public nuisance, why can't we just shut it down? I mean, everybody, it's just damaging everybody in the neighborhood, and it's a public nuisance.
You know, one of the things I learned from the union days, is that something you want the Plan Commission to consider? Is that what you want the citizen members to consider?
Pardon?
Is that something that you want these citizen members to consider?
Yes. And since it's a public nuisance, why can't we just shut it down?
It's a question, legitimate question for this committee.
Something was brought up whereby John proposed amending certain, you know, things in the PDD. And I think the PDD should be left alone. The PDD should be honored as to what it was. The measurements, the distances.
It's one of those speakers.
The distances of the quarries from the road, from the median of the road, should be left alone. The quarries should leave the berms alone, because what they did in pulling the berm forward on Drexel is uglier than sin. And it has done nothing. You're not getting a lot of air-produced blast vibration. You know what we're getting? We're getting vibration from underneath, through the rock strata. That's why they get it so far away.
My recollection in your neighborhood and over by Wallwood
Marge might remember this too, is there's some type of geological formation where like a veins that go certain portions of the people get it much, much worse than other sections. And I'm not a geologist, but that's something that we really need to take a look at. Maybe Ron, you've got the background on that. Because it's like if you're blasting here and you hit that vein and your house is underneath the vein, your house is going to probably shake twice as much as others.
As my understanding here is they're getting deeper into the core, they're getting closer to the bedrock. Closer to the bedrock as it is now. And as they hit, as they blast, that's why I would think as we put together our group, we look at the locations where we put the seismic monitors. And it's my understanding, Joel, that we've had complaints, most of the complaints, when Marge and I were on the Quarry Commission, most of the complaints were of noise violations. Is that correct, Marge? That's my memory. So the berms were supposed to help with the noise, and the monitoring was basically for the noise, not so much on the vibration. And I may be completely inaccurate on that, but because I live near the quarry myself, I just live on the side of 68th Street, so I do feel the vibrations as well.
And I am going to ask you to wrap it up because we've actually gone past the 20 minutes.
I just have to state, we need to suspend the berms, their little project that they're doing. It needs to be stopped now, not a month from now when they've got it all done. It needs to be stopped now. I mean, what does it take? What the heck does it take? And it doesn't take any amendments either. The PDD doesn't need to be changed. What does need to be changed is that it should be compliant. The city should be compliant with what the PDD was originally set up to be. It hasn't. Has it been monitored? Not always. You said 2005. Since 2005, it hasn't been.
Mr. Deedle, I think you did say that it was monitored.
Yes, I've personally gone back to look at records as far back as 2005. Monitoring's gone back since the beginning. Other people have done monitoring.
Up to the current date?
Yes.
Well, you know what? You cannot depend on the quarries monitoring themselves. Like I said before, that's like saying if someone robs your house, hey, here's the robber's number. You go and, you know, give them a call. See if they'll give your stuff back. Yeah. I think the berms need to be suspended. People need to know that the quarry advancement that we feel is imminent is not going to happen.
Thank you for coming down tonight. I am going to go back to the regular order of business. Is there a motion to return to regular business?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, I have the motion carried. If I don't die here. All right. I think we have an item on here for, is it Trails Committee?
Yeah, just don't report that. Well, we got to skip a couple of
them. 3A. 3A, yeah. 3A, Mr. Deal.
The applicant has withdrawn the request, so we are recommending that.
Are observed, enforced, and I'm not aware that there's been any violation. city or any staff member that has not complied with that, but as the CEO of the city, I'm making sure of that. And 24. DDD 23 and 24. All right, and let's see. Status report, mayoral ad hoc. All those in favor, please signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, I say have a motion carries. Can I turn to Dino? D. Status report, nothing. Item C, Franklin Comprehensive Master Plan, anything?
Also.
City of Franklin, Franklin Trails Committee.
Mr. Caller, taking the Planning Commission's advice that we're going to take the Safe House of School report to the council to get a positive amendment to the Comprehensive Master Plan.
Can I ask the Trails Committee to also take up something else? I believe I know the answer to all this, but the trail that has been brought up in the past regarding what was promised, allegedly promised in 23 or 24, can somebody from the Trails Committee come out with a history? My recollection is the Common Council some time ago took action on that and actually said, we're not going to do the trail,
that's correct,
but we are going to do the overview.
The overview trail.
But can somebody, can someone research that?
We can take a look at that and find out.
Okay.
And the Trails Committee was put together at the request of the mayor to try to come up with a solution to the 51st Street problem of either sidewalk or trail, which was desired. But there was someone, the name to satisfy the neighbor's desire to have some type of pedestrian walkway on 51st Street. We have proceeded to the point where we now have a plan, a preliminary plan in place. We have sidewalks. We have a mayor having put money in the budget for the trail from north of Boston to his budget. Here is money been allocated for a trail coming from Fair Meadows with a spread sidewalk stop.
Right, Ron?
Absolutely. Okay. So the Trails Committee, as we feel it, has done, it may not meet everyone's desires for where the trail was located, but it's the best location we can find at the place.
Right. And before I ask for a motion to adjourn, I just ask, Marge, would you be willing to serve on the Cory Committee? So. Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.